I'm Neil from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at gunnageek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This is show number 147, discussing the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 3, Uprising. This show is recorded on Wednesday, October 12th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix in the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because of handmade compasses.
If you'd like to talk to us about the rudimentary historical sciences, you can catch us on our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can also contact us by voicemail at 844-THE-BUZZ-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can go over and like us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast, Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can go to our Tumblr at legendsofshield.tumblr.com, YouTube at www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the Gunna Geek Con Network.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have a few exciting announcements to get at you, so just wait 1 second, we'll get to right to them. We are also giving away a Spider-Man Marvel Collector Core Crate. We're going to talk about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. It was a good one. We'll get to that in a minute, too. We'll talk about your feedback and your Marvel news all combined in one this week and highlights from the live chat room found at geeks.live. First of all, our first exciting announcement. Welcome, Consultant Michelle, to the podcast. Michelle is a co-host on the Starling Tribune, which is the Arrow podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network. She's also been a blogger on the GunnaGeek.com website. A geek cred galore, definitely goes to cons and pays attention to the geek news, and also is an avid Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. watcher. How are you doing tonight, Michelle?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, welcome to the podcast, and thank you very much for taking the slot of our fallen comrades, Agent Haley and Agent Lauren, who are off doing some things with Agent Nathanson and Simmons. I don't know where they are, but they're doing some science stuff somewhere. So just let them go, and then we'll just take care of this. How about that, Michelle?
We'll go ahead and do that.
Awesome. All right, our second exciting announcement is Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is now on iHeartRadio. Yes, you can search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on iHeartRadio, and the link will be in the show notes. The last 100 episodes, at least that I found, are there. I don't know if any more, they let any more on there or not, but you can have your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. with you if you use the iHeartRadio app. That's exciting news, isn't it, Michelle?
It's very exciting. I've used iHeartRadio, so that's actually really good news.
It is, and stay tuned. More GunnaGeek.com podcasts will probably be appearing on iHeartRadio in the near future. All right, for the third exciting announcement, we usually wait for feedback until the end of the podcast, but we just have to do this particular feedback at the start of the podcast. As you know, Lauren live tweets the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes every Tuesday nights or whatever we're watching. Like a couple of weeks ago, she did the Ghost Rider 2007 movie, live tweeted that, and then the girls recorded that podcast, and I will publish that podcast shortly after this is live recorded. However, because she does that, the cast and the crew often get in the live tweeting, and in this particular case, Yo-Yo herself, Natalia Cordova, actually retweeted Lauren as Glow-Yo, and she said, Natalia, as always, at Mark Kolpak, making us glow. Who's Mark Kolpak? Is the CGI director, or the arts director, or whatever, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Glow-Yo, slow motion, funnest joy. So that was pretty cool. And thank you very much, Natalia. We really appreciate you retweeting us. And we hope to see you around the Twitter sphere with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the future. What do you say to that, Michelle?
That is completely awesome. That, oh my goodness, fills me with joy.
It is. And you have started live tweeting yourself. So how do you find that experience?
It's very interesting because you have to, because you're not looking at the show critically, not really. You're looking for those moments to go, hey, that's kind of neat, and I want to share my thoughts about it. It's a very different way of watching a show.
It is. And then when people interact with you, they like your tweets, they retweet you, they comment back. It's all fun. And of course, you're doing it for the DC shows because of Starling Tribune underneath the at Starling Tribune Twitter account, correct?
Yes. There will be a couple of Mondays and Tuesdays where I can't live tweet Supergirl and Flash, but I will obviously be able to do the recordings. But definitely Arrow. And then, well, we'll record on Thursday. So I'll tweet Legends when I watch it. Yeah, you'll find me on the Starling Tribune account just sharing my little thoughts about a show that we love.
It'll be fun. And again, Lauren live tweets from the at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Twitter account every Tuesday night. So that is great. And talking about great crates, we have one that we're giving away. It is the Pop Funko Marvel Collector Core Crate Spider-Man. This one is donated from an anonymous donor. We will unbox it next week, so you will see what is in there. And all you have to do is tell us, what would Spider-Man's homecoming theme be? Now, get that to us before our live recording on November 2nd. Get it to us on Twitter, Facebook, email. You can do StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com for the email. Anywhere that there's a permanent record, because if it's in the chat room, sorry, not going to see it. And it's not going to be back in our records when we go and actually choose the winner. And when I say we, it is Lauren and Haley. So really pander to them, because I'm outvoted every single time. Michelle, how can that be?
Well, they have good taste.
I have good taste, too. They just gang up on me.
They have better taste?
Better taste. Okay. Well, we'll just go with that. All right. So get that to us. And oh, by the way, our last giveaway that we did was the S.H.I.E.L.D. Squared wallet. It was a S.H.I.E.L.D. embossed RFID shielded wallet. We came to call it the S.H.I.E.L.D. Squared wallet. And Mr. Pericles won that. And he tweeted us on October 2nd. And he said, thank you guys again for the awesome S.H.I.E.L.D. Squared wallet. And he gave us a picture of it. Definitely in his control, in his hands, actually on his table, but in his possession. And he enjoyed that. So thank you very much at Mr. Pericles. Looking forward to everybody's entries into the Spider-Man homecoming theme Marvel Collector Core Crate Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. giveaway. This contest, by the way, is no means, shape, manner, form sponsored by Marvel, Pop Funko, Spider-Man, Sony, anything. It is literally us giving it away. Michelle, are you ready to get a little frisky, talk a little bit about an uprising?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. As with every week, we start talking about the creative team behind the episode specifically. Sometimes we talk about the production team, but mostly it's the director and the writer. So first, we'll talk about the director. It was Magnus Martens, all the way from Stord, Norway. That's his place of birth. I actually don't know where he lives or his address, nor do I want to. He's just awesome because he has 18 total directing credits over the past 25 years. If you take a look at his IMDb, though, only the last like three or so shows that he is directed an episode or two really matter for the geek crowd. The first is two 12 Monkeys episodes, one in 2015 and another in 2016. One Luke Cage episode in 2016. If you haven't seen that already, you should, as do I. I need to see Luke Cage. And thank God the girls aren't here to berate me right now, but I haven't had time to see it.
You haven't seen it?
No, I... I'm sorry, I had a kind of a family emergency I had to take care of. So it definitely took my time for 2 weeks. So I wasn't able to do Luke Cage. So I got to get on that this weekend. And an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So he definitely has a few geek cred. And you've seen Luke Cage. So were there any bad episodes of Luke Cage?
No. I can't believe I'm saying this, but no, I loved Luke Cage from episode 1 to episode 13. It was just, wow, it's really good. You would not be disappointed.
So his episode won't disappoint you, basically, is what I'm getting at.
No.
Awesome. Michelle, who's the writer for the episode, Uprising?
Well, it was written by Craig Titley. Has 9 total writing credits over the past 15 years, including Scooby-Doo. That's two Star Wars, The Clone Wars, 2 episodes of The Cape. No matter how long I am alive, that show just will not go away. Those of us who actually watched all the episodes of The Cape are going, oh gosh. 6 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and of course this one.
The best Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode ever, or one of the best. Top 5, definitely, maybe top 3. 4,722. That was the episode where we first saw Simmons stranded on the planet last year. He wrote that. He automatically gets a pass. If he writes any episode from now on, it's like, okay, it's going to be a good one. I expect greatness from the Craig Titley. And this episode was really cool. And it was titled...
really good.
It was titled Uprising. What was the meaning of Uprising, Michelle?
It was like, there's going to be an uprising. Oh, no, not really, because S.H.I.E.L.D. came along and stopped it.
Sort of.
I mean, right? Because they were like, hey, there's this inhuman threat. And they're going, we're going to black out all these cities. And you got to end registration and free inhumans and... the inhuman resistance is upon us. No, it's not.
Well, okay, it is. There's controversy after the Sokovia Accords. We knew it was going to happen. The comics have been into Marvel Civil War II, not dealing with the Sokovia Accords. Somebody's got to deal with the Sokovia Accords. It has to happen, and it obviously is going to be happening in this show. They're talking about the Inhumans. They're talking about taking care of them one way or the other. You got the watchdogs that are funded behind a senator. Wow. Did you catch that at the very end? Senator, what was her name? Nadir?
Yeah.
Oh, Nadir, N-A-D-E-E-R. Didn't catch her first name. I think it starts with an R. It doesn't matter. She is going to be a big baddie. Maybe not the big baddie, but a big baddie behind the watchdogs, who have this inhuman hate against them. They had these EMP that took out power for 4 cities, was it? And they were talking about another 7? That's some serious juju behind them.
Yeah, I mean, they hit London, Moscow, New York, part of DC, LA, Miami. That's a lot of money. Because even Fitz was like, this tech is even beyond us.
It wasn't just the EMP. It was the tech that they were wearing, you know, the high grade military hardware and clothing and protection and stuff. They are definitely, the watchdogs are definitely being bankrolled big time. You ever wonder, like, how do superheroes, supervillains, how do they afford all this stuff?
Real estate.
Right before the booms, huh? The bus, I mean.
Well, all those slumlords are making money. It's got to go somewhere.
Okay, so slumlords it is. Slumlords fund super terrorism, super villains, and superheroes.
That, or they got all the Beanie Babies and they cashed in on that.
I've actually got some Beanie Babies. I have to figure out how much they are worth at some point in time.
$2.47. That's going to be my guess.
Probably. I mean, my kids were at the right age that I actually ran around to all the McDonald's to make sure that I got I've got a full set of little bitty Beanie Babies from McDonald's.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
They're in this house right now under lock and key, guarded by weapons. So stay away.
Wow. Are they weapons Yo-Yo can get?
Probably.
I loved that scene. I love how this episode started. It was like, there's Yo-Yo. It's going to be an excellent episode because Yo-Yo's in it.
She is the character that you just love to see on the screen. I mean, there are characters that you're like, okay, this is my favorite, whatever, like May. A lot of people like May. A lot of people like the science babies, whatever. Yo-Yo, you can't help but smile when she's on screen. The innuendos, the just forwardness, the ability to just talk her way through any situation, and that situations that she can't talk herself out of, she speeds through it. It's amazing.
And she wears sensible shoes. That is a woman I can admire because I am the same way. It's like, go down all these flights of stairs in heels. She's just like, I don't wear them. That's why you don't wear them. They don't make sense. I'm right there with you, Yo-Yo.
You never know when you're going to have to go down 31 sets of stairs. Actually, 31 floors. So the sets of stairs is at least doubled because usually they're switchbacks in those high rises. So it's 62 at least sets of stairs. That's a lot of stairs to go down.
A lot.
We have the director, Jeffrey Mace, and he is kind of a minor character, but he has some huge moments. He's sending Phil, Mac, and Fitz to Miami while other people deal with May. And at first, did you get the sense that he was trying to break him up rather than actually send his best out to do it?
No, he reminds me of this all-American football coach who's like, now, team, we've gotten this far. I know what to do. You may not like it, but we can do this. That's what he reminded me of. He's just like, no, because he's right. Coulson didn't need to go with May. Coulson wanted to go with May. He wanted to be right by her side and everything, but he knew, no, you need to go to Miami. That's where you're needed. And you know this. You know that's where you need to be. So I actually kind of like him.
Who do you think has the toolbox right now? Do you think Coulson surrendered that to Jeffrey Mace?
I don't know.
See, if Coulson still has the toolbox, that's actually an asset that he could use to help May.
Yeah, but it might not be the right time to bring out the toolbox.
And once he does, Mace is going to take it away from him.
Right.
All right.
I think he probably still has it. Because especially now that he knows S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to be public. And he says at the end of the episode, no, this is where I need to be. Because I think he's learned that he likes being in the shadows. He doesn't like it when S.H.I.E.L.D. is all public. He's like, no, I like being here now. That's one of the things that I liked about the episode. He realized he works well in the field, out of the spotlight.
Right. This is my place. That is cool. And also, once we got past that initial, no, you have to go off and do that because you are my best field agent. I would argue that May would be his, but she's incapacitated, so whatever. You have to go take care of this while the science, the divisions take care of May. I thought that was a little bit of a division, but then when he's talking to the president, he's like, just give me one more hour. Just one more hour. Coulson, you better do it. You're my A-team. You better do it. And at that point in time, I'm like, okay, he's rooting for Coulson. I can get into this. At the end, the old friend back in town, the dude is just amazing behind the podium. I'll vote for him. Jeffrey Mace for president. Let's just do it right now.
Yeah, and that's exactly why he needs to be behind the podium and Phil needs to be in the shadows.
Agent Barrows was right behind him, you know, the PR guy.
Yeah.
Would you like to be the PR guy for S.H.I.E.L.D.? Not me. That would be some tense things. And you know what? I watched The Martian over this past week as I was dealing with the family stuff. I had it on in the background. And the PR lady in, I forget the character's name, but it's Wig, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she is in there and she's like, the one scene that I really like her is when they're talking about the council at Rivendell. And she's just like, I hate you guys. And that was great. But she's trying to corral these geniuses and make them do what she needs them to do in order to get the best PR for NASA. And nobody does what she needs them to do. They're all go off the rails because they're scientists. They don't know how to deal with the press. And you could just see the headbutt, you know, when that happens. And that's exactly what's going to happen with Agent Barrows. He's going to be like, I can't believe you just, oh, no. Oh, I'm so fired. That sort of thing. So Agent Barrows, We'll see what kind of agent you really are. She's probably a bodyguard, too, I would imagine, for Jeffrey Mace. Although we know that Mace is an inhuman, so maybe he needs a bodyguard. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Not only did we see Agent Barrows, but Agent Nathan B. Nathanson got a verbal appearance as well from Simmons. Did you catch that?
Briefly. I love that name.
So Nathan B. Nathanson and Simmons, the way she said it at the very beginning, it reminded me of scolding a kid. Nathan B. Nathanson, you let those boys right in. Talking about Coulson and Matt coming back to in the pilot episode or the premiere episode to season four. In this particular case, she's trying to save May, and it's the only named scientist character other than Fitz and Simmons in the science division is Nathanson. So she's like, Nathanson, come here. You know, we've got work to do. This character is going to get, I told the ladies a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about it, this character showing up is going to get some play because it was actually named and it's just going to be a fun name to play with. So have you made up a nickname for Nathan B. Nathanson yet, Michelle?
Nathan B. Nathanson is his nickname. It's a type of thing where you have to say the whole name. I just can't call him Nathan. It's going to be Nathan B. Nathanson. It's going to be like that the whole time. I mean, it's like Sarah Michelle Gellar. I can't say her name without saying all of it. It's the same way with Nathan B. Nathanson.
Tommy Lee Jones.
There you go.
There were a lot of fights. Did you have a favorite one?
Oh my goodness. Yo-Yo at the end where it's again like that glow stick and you just see her getting the gun, beating the guy, and everything. That's, again, Yo-Yo's my favorite.
Definitely. There were a lot of great fight actions in this one. Not like Arrow great or Daredevil great, but there were a lot of great fights. You had the rescue of Yo-Yo at the base of whatever skyrise that was that they were having the bridal shower party, whatever it was at. There was the fight at the EMP, which you just described there. That was definitely my favorite of the episode as well. And then there was the fight on the street with the thugs as Ghost Rider and Quake were saving Gabe. And those were the three big fights that I remember. And they were all great. They were all choreographed. They all had CGI intertwined with them. So whoever sculpted this episode spaced those action scenes out just enough to keep us going along the way and keep the adrenaline going. There wasn't a big, long, droll, slow part, weepy, okay, it's time to go to the bathroom sort of thing. This was a hit episode.
Yeah, and one of the things about them being divided this time is that each of them had something to do. Coulson, Mac, and Fitz figure out what's going on, and then Simmons with May, and then you had all that stuff cutting back and forth and then going back to like the little moments with the director, like, no, Coulson can do it. So that was one of the things I really liked about the episode. It was just back and forth. It was a good rhythm.
It was. We haven't even talked about May dying and then bringing her back in no power at all. Dr. Batty brings out that impossible battery. It was the power source or a backup power source. I think it's the prime power source of Ada, I believe. You know, I missed that. I didn't realize that they took May back to Dr. Batty's apartment. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he's apparently got a really nice lab in his house. I guess he's like, what, under house arrest or something? And they gave him a nice lab to go with it. I'm not really too sure what the conditions of his freedom are. He's got this great lab and they had that whole Minority Report scan of her brain and stuff. That was really cool.
It was.
And it was like, part of me was like, oh, look, the power just went out. And my brain was like, well, is this when he's going to bring her out? And I liked how he didn't exactly bring her out, but he brought out this prototype battery that he's been working on. That was a good cover story.
So let's go back to the CGI of whatever. We've seen it before in Stark Tech. We've also seen it before back in season one and season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not a lot last year. We did see it with the toolbox a little bit. But we didn't see a lot of that grab stuff, 3D and moving around, that sort of thing. It was good to see that back. It's not new to the Marvel Universe, definitely not new to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it was cool seeing that and isolating exactly what was wrong with May's mind. So that was cool. Although, I half thought that they were actually going to kill May. And I was like, I don't know if her contract was for all the episodes this year or not.
There would have been a riot if they killed May, especially if they killed her that way. Some sort of blame, brain, fright thing. No, if May dies, it is going to be the most epic of epic deaths in Marvel history. It has to be because it's May.
Agreed. I'm glad they didn't wipe her off that way. But you never know in the scheme of TV whose contract is up or anything like that. So you just got to, sometimes you got to roll with it. But there's been a lot of deaths where I'm like Laurel on Arrow. I know we disagree on that, but that's just one that's very divisive in the Arrow community. And I think a lot of people actually stop watching the show because of it. So if you do that with May, you're definitely going to get a larger portion of people that won't watch the show. Wheatons, take that into your account when you're thinking about ratings. Don't kill off May. We need our Felinda.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about Fitz for a second, because he was back in purest form. He, as you mentioned in the beginning, he's making the compasses out of corks and water with a needle in them. That is actually true. That's true science, by the way. You can do it. It might not work as great as a modern magnetic compass, but it's at least a start. So you've got that. You should have some sort of magnet in it, but if you're dealing with a strong magnetic force, you might not need the magnet, just some needles. So you got that. But also, he goes by the nickname Turbo by Mac, but Coulson gave him a new nickname. Michelle, do you want to inform everybody what we think about his new nickname?
Slide Rule?
Yes.
I like it, but I also know what a slide rule is. Like, people know the word turbo, but if you don't know what a slide rule is, then you're like, I don't get it.
So it's a geeky thing. It's a do the calculations by hands. I've actually used a slide rule before. Actually, it was a NASA slide rule that I used the last time. They are complicated to use. Your cell phone has more capability to do calculations than a slide rule does. But back in the day, you know, without power, you have to use stuff like that. And he is doing calculations in his head, trying to triangulate. I do have a problem with the triangulation, by the way. If they're talking about a strong EMP pulse and they're only separated by a few feet, they're not going to get that much difference in angle to triangulate in one room, even if it's a big ballroom. I'm sorry, you need miles of separation. That's just my little science rant on this episode, but the compasses work.
I agreed, because I'm like, go in my notes, it's like, wait a minute, they're all in the same power. Okay, I'm just gonna let it go. At least they're doing science. I like when they do science
stuff. Do you have a big point that we haven't covered yet?
Ghost Rider.
What about the Ghost Rider?
I need what he is to be revealed soon, because this is episode 3. And they've been doing this whole Ghost Rider's here. And we've gotten like little taste of it. But now we're getting into episodes like 4 and 5. Need to know exactly what his deal is and why he's actually on S.H.I.E.L.D., why he needs to be on S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like he's cool and it's interesting. But it's like, I'm getting to the point. It's like, why is he here?
Yeah, it's the outside look into it. And Ghost Rider is not a good character. There's the devil inside of him working against him. So it's not all roses in there. Mac does name him. Mac names Ghost Rider. And in this episode, you got that. And the entire S.H.I.E.L.D. team now has a concept of what Ghost Rider really looks like off of the graffiti picture that Daisy took and sent to Yo-Yo. So I think they'll be revealing the purpose of Ghost Rider within the next episode or two, because they moved it along this far. They have to move it along even further. And they're all worried about Daisy. Of course, Gabe, how do you think Gabe took care of this? Do you think Gabe's going to separate the two from now on? Or you think that Daisy's just not going to come around when Gabe's around?
I don't know. That was pretty harsh. Yeah, I figured out you're quick. You're not good people. What? Whoa!
How many people do you know that can do that sort of stuff with their bodies or whatever, that sort of force people away at distance? Quake's well known for that.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, it was going to be quake to do that. And Gabe's not stupid, although I think he has this altruistic view of his brother. They're brothers, right?
Yes.
He's got this altruistic view of his brother that just simply isn't true, because he's got the devil inside of him and he does need good people around him. But I think that Daisy is a good person to have around in his life, stabilizing person, even though she's doing her like emo phase and her I have to do this alone phase and I can't be attached to anybody. She's actually got true motives underneath that. And I think that's good to have with Ghost Rider. So I hope that they don't separate these two forever. Just not around Gabe, or maybe Daisy proves herself to Gabe. I don't know.
Well, Gabe doesn't know about Ghost Rider yet.
The night job, as it's called.
That's another thing. So if Daisy just meets Ghost Rider away from Gabe, but then do they reveal to Gabe that he's Ghost Rider? Or is that like one of those secrets that last all season?
I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. It happens. You live through the season and you watch all the episodes and you have fun with it and you find out what they're willing to tell you.
Yeah.
There was a cool CGI sequence. I just have to mention that with the bus. Yeah, Zephyr 1, I know, but I call it the bus. The bus flying through the clouds. So that was cool. Although, knowing a thing or two about airplanes, very rarely do planes fly at their max speed through clouds. It's very rare. Very. They usually fly way above clouds. Just saying. And they normally don't dance around the clouds, like fly in and out of them at an angle. Okay, that's just me ranting again. Whatever. It was cool CGI seeing the bus fly, as it always is, landing, flying, in motion. It's good to see the bus. The bus is why I watch the show. Let's admit it. SP watches the show for the bus, so whenever the bus is on, SP is happy. And then, at the very end, we already talked about Senator Nader, but her brother? That is an inhuman Terrigen transformation gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he's just taking his time.
Not wanting to come out. It's okay, guys. I got it. I'm fine in here. Just leave me alone. Leave the TV on. I like to listen to whatever news channel that was. It's fine. You know, I tried to freeze frame the letters to get the name on the letter because the Russi or whatever is right there on the letters. I could not read it for the life of me. I could not, on my 50-inch, 55-inch, whatever it is, TV, I couldn't read it on that. So either I need better glasses or they intentionally obscured it. So I don't know who that named individual is, but it's Senator Nader's brother. And maybe Lauren or Haley has some background into the name. I don't. Do you, Michelle?
No. I don't.
Okay, so we'll have to wait another week for Michelle or for Haley and Lauren to get back, or maybe we'll read something online and figure out who the brother really is. I think that is it. Looking through the notes, did you have anything specific that we haven't covered yet?
No, I'm good.
All right. It was a great episode. Liked it. Loved it. They're really hitting the marks this season. They really took their time crafting this whole thing. I know a lot of people had Ghost Rider iffiness to them, but I think they're starting to be okay with it. So we'll see how it goes in the future. Are you excited for the next episode?
Yes.
Which I do believe is next week. And it will be episode 4, Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire, which is, you know, kind of appropriate because it's October. It's kind of getting a little cold. We like fires at night.
Sure.
All right, we're going to get on to some feedback. Thank you very much, everybody. We have had a lot of feedback over the last 2 weeks. I don't know if the ladies actually covered any of the feedback last week. I'm just going to guess that they didn't. So we're going to run through what you all have said. At Born to Eat Bacon, way back on September 29th, he tweeted us and he said, "My name is Johnny and I support this message. You with me, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.?" And what he's talking about is a Rosario Dawson, Claire Temple, to be in any and all future Netflix Marvel projects tweet that came out. And I have not seen Luke Cage. I have heard that Rosario Dawson is in Luke Cage, and there hasn't been a scene with her that I haven't seen so far in both the 2 seasons of Daredevil and Jessica Jones that he didn't like. Would you agree with that statement, Michelle?
Claire, you get a lot more Claire in Luke Cage. Right. A lot more. And she is supposed to be an Iron Fist, which probably means she will probably be in the Defenders.
Awesome.
Yeah. I hope she ends up in the Punisher. I read in an article, I can't remember where, and I'm really sorry, that they're kind of working Claire to be the glue that holds the Netflix shows together. And I hope that is true.
Yeah, she's the glue that holds the superheroes together, whatever you want to call them so far. So that is awesome. I can't wait to see her in Luke Cage. Can't wait to see the 13 episodes. Can't wait. Just haven't had time. And Michelle, what was next on our list?
Well, Annie Mignot retweeted Deadline Hollywood about Black Panther finding another villain. They've cast Winston Duke to play Man-Ape. He's a person of interest vet, and he's also been on Major Crimes and The Messenger. That movie is looking really good. So many good people that's going to be in it.
All right. We can't wait to see it. It's looking good. And then at Mr. Paracletes tweeted us on September 29th with a photo, which I laughed at when I first saw, by the way. And it's one of those coffee house chalkboard photos. And in big block letters, it says, "You matter." You matter, not matter, but you matter. And then in little script below it, it says, "Unless you multiply yourself by the speed of light, then you energy." And I went, "Oh, I love the pun. I love the pun." And I was like, "Well, wait, no. E equals MC squared. So you have to multiply yourself by the speed of light squared." Get it right, people.
Well, oh my goodness.
It was a fun pun, though. I liked it. So that was cool. What do we got next on the list, Michelle?
Well, Mr. Paracletes sent us an article that Punisher has started. There's pictures of Jon Bernthal working on the Punisher. So that is good to hear. There's also news out that the woman who plays Karen Page is also joining the show.
Nice.
And I just saw on Facebook that Jon Bernthal is going to be at next year's C2E2.
It's going to be cool, I guess.
Very cool.
I definitely will be attending C2E2 next year just to see the Jon.
Exactly. So hopefully this show will come out in 2018. I'm hoping.
Whenever it comes out, we were discussing that earlier on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. about a month ago. We don't know if there's going to be two or three series released in any given year or maybe even more than that. So we'll see. Netflix is going to all original content, or at least more original content than before. So this could be part of that overall plan to get more and more Marvel Netflix series in to buffer their available series, seasons, whatever, on there. At Kodiak GWC and at Michelle Ely. I don't know who that Michelle Ely is, but definitely at Kodiak GWC tweeted first on October 4th. Said that Netflix Iron Fist TV series has a release date, and there was other talk about the Punisher Netflix series beginning filming. There were some questions about that it might have not have been Punisher, might have been the Defenders or whatever, but yes, it's been confirmed it was indeed the Punisher. And what exactly is that release date, Michelle?
March 17, 2017. And it was a really cool trailer. You actually see him doing some fighting. He's already got the tattoo on the chest. And there's this really great effect of him with his fist. You actually see the glow come from like inside the hand. They're billing him as the final defender has arrived and that he is the only one that can stop the hand. I've been trying to piece together some stuff that maybe Daredevil might be an Iron Fist, because at the end of Daredevil season 2, we still had the issue of Elektra and the hand and everything. So maybe this gets picked up in Iron Fist.
That will be interesting to see how this all lays out. We don't know who's going to be where, who's going to be what. I just saw a news story today, as a matter of fact, that talked, well, could these Netflix characters actually show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I think that's more of a possibility of going back and forth between ABC and Netflix than going between either and the films. Although, if I had to guess, like Netflix characters probably would have an easier transition over to the films than the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because they're all released in one block one day, even though the production takes a lot longer time. They're out there and you don't have to string along like where they're going to be when the film is released or whatever, like they did with Winter Soldier and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was cool, but took a lot of pre-planning and it almost destroyed the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't think they're willing to do that again. I think they got the warning bell sound off Marvel and said, ding, 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 we almost ruined Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Let's not do that again. And I don't think that'll happen. So we'll see where the crossovers lie. But March next year is going to be a good time. I am glad to hear that it won't overlap with C2E2 because isn't it in April next year?
Yes.
Okay. The next tweet down is from Born to Eat Bacon.
Yes. For those of us who watch Community, which was an amazing show, Abed's impression of Nicolas Cage, because he retweeted, how cool is this? I have something in common with Nicolas Cage. Then again, perhaps I could have set my sights higher. It's the nice little clip. It's there. It's how Abed gets really obsessed. He just falls down the Nicolas Cage rabbit hole because he's done multiple films and he just kind of comes out changed. That's all I'm going to say.
It was a fun clip to watch. And the book, the scrapbook of all the Nicolas Cage movies that Abed had, that was awesome as well. And this was in a response to Lauren's live tweet on the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. account. Just FYI, if Nicolas Cage does anything in a movie that is supposed to be a romantic gesture, don't do that in real life. Hashtag Ghost Rider. And they, once again, the ladies did talk about the 2007 Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider movie last week. Moving on, the Best of Marvel, at the Best of Marvel, tweeted, Deborah Ann Woll, who's Karen Page, with John Bernthal on set of The Punisher, which we just talked about, the fact that they were filming together, but we actually see pictures of it, so that is cool. And then at DX Ferris commented back, and he said, and they start a relationship advice podcast and shoot people. I can see that.
Yeah. Stab people. And shoot people.
Yeah, he likes to shoot people. Yeah. And Karen shot Wesley, so she shot people.
That's true. But then Punisher stabbed a bunch of people in that diner and the prison hallway.
Some of that wasn't stabbing. Some of that was just raw muscle, too. I don't want to come across that guy ever. It doesn't have to even be a dark alley. It could be coming down in the middle of the street, and I'll drive away as fast as I can.
Even if he's holding a big pink teddy bear and balloons, you don't want to...
Nope.
Walk up and say hi?
Nope.
Frank?
Because I don't know how much explosives would be in that big pink teddy bear.
Maybe all he wanted is a hug.
Karen can give him the hug. I won't be in the next county.
Okay.
So what do we got next from Christy?
Christy retweeted diskingdom.com. Dr. Strange, so cute. Dr. Strange updates coming to Marvel video games. And when you click on the link, what is interesting to me is that the pictures of Dr. Strange that you see don't look like Benedict Cumberbatch. It's more of the traditional Dr. Strange. To me, the more handsome version of Dr. Strange.
There you go.
Which, when they picked Benedict Cumberbatch, I'm just like going, well, okay, that's not my Dr. Strange, but okay, whatevs.
Yeah, and Christy's been playing a lot of Marvel video games. She's been playing, as you've noticed in the last couple of weeks that we've done feedback, she has had some great pictures from her mobile devices taking pictures of the game. So she has been having fun with Marvel. And Christy, hi, how you doing? Looking forward to hearing back from you again. And did you see this NYCC, New York Comic Con 2016 cosplay foolishness, basically, that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew did. Did you see that YouTube?
Yes. So this thing about celebrities dressing up and then hitting the con floor, the best, though, was Bryan Cranston cosplaying Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. That's still the best. But here you've got Clark Gregg.
Chloe Bennett.
You've got Chloe Bennett and Gabriel Luna hitting the floor. And I love how they give each other like fake names, like I'm Tony, I'm this. And they just interview random people cosplayed as different Marvel characters. And some of them were like, do you watch any of the shows? And they're like, oh, I love this one. What about S.H.I.E.L.D.? Oh, I stopped watching it. Or it's not my favorite. And you just see their reaction. And it's really funny. And they went with it with a great attitude, and they had a, you can just tell they had fun doing it.
There were some real fans of the show that were all into it. There were the Robbie Reyes cosplayers. There's a couple of them out there. And one guy actually ferreted Coulson out. He's like, they were asking the people, who's your favorite character? And the guy's like, Coulson. He's like, oh, Clark Gregg's like, I think I've been figured out. I've been found out or whatever. And he did his mask and the guy just went nuts. He's like, oh, it's Phil. And there's this other guy that's talking about how he had spent time with Clark Gregg last year and how Clark was such a great guy and everything. And behind the mask, Clark is just saying, uh-huh. It sounds like in some New York accent or something. Sounds like a great guy. I can't do the accent right now, but it's fun to watch. Go ahead and watch it. And they were playing like podcasters, basically, just trying to get coverage of the con. As you see, you know, we've actually done it ourselves, right, Michelle, at C2E2 last year.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're with Marvel TV or something, you know, like, it was funny. Yeah. It was funny.
So we had all that going on. And if you haven't taken a look at it, go ahead. And the link is in the show notes. All right. Then we got tweets from at Adonna Girl, at Born to Eat Bacon, and at Mr. Pericles, all basically the same thing with different articles. Hayley Atwell is returning as Agent Carter. So everybody's like, oh, Agent Carter's going to get a season 3. And no, that's not the case.
No. No. Hope dashed again, killed, stabbed. But we do get her in the animated Marvel's Avengers. So we get to hear her voice. We get to see the character, but not actual Hayley Atwell as Agent Carter, as like a big chunk of the world wants. I don't know what ABC was thinking. I really don't.
Well, because the ratings were below 2. That might be okay for CW, but that is not okay for ABC.
Well, it's not like they got a lot of other stuff going on.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. Well, let's talk about that now. Have you seen Designated Survivor yet?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. I've only seen the pilot episode so far. I haven't had time to go beyond that. But that is another ABC show, well worth it. Of course, it's right up my bailiwick. I like that sort of thing, the apocalyptic sort of thing. Basically, spoilers, what happens is one member of the White House staff, a cabinet member, and it could be a different one depending on what's going on. Could be, the Secretary of Defense, could be Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, as was in this case. And the entire Congress, the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff, the court system, the Supreme Court justices, president, vice president, they're all in the Capitol building and it blows up. And so all of a sudden we have no government and the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development is the president of the United States. That is how our government works, by the way, people. That is true. Yeah. That would happen. And we do have continuity of operations, continuity of government. I forget what it's called exactly. But I really like that show so far. Only in the episode 1, they've had 3, maybe 4 episodes. I forget if they had another one tonight or not. But that is a good series. Timeless, have you seen Timeless yet?
No. Okay. I have no interest in seeing Timeless either.
Timeless is on NBC, and it's kind of a sci-fi show. So be warned as you go into it. But I've liked the half of the pilot episode that I've seen so far, and it'll just be a fun show that I watch in the background. Yes, I have watched these before I watched Luke Cage because I wanted to take my time through Luke Cage. And these I have been watching in the background. So on my time off, I guess I'll have to call it that way. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy with my dad. And my dad had not seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet. And it's just, you know, for an older person, you know, you think of your grandparents. So he's that age. And something like that just doesn't on its face interest you. He was enthralled. He stayed up late to watch that. It was great. He's like, oh, I should have gone to bed 2 hours ago, but I really like that movie. Thank you, SP, for bringing that movie with you. So we watched that. I watched The Martian again. We talked about that as well. I got to say, between the two, Michelle, the retro soundtracks on both those movies probably made those movies bigger than they actually were.
Yeah. When you go retro, you got to be real careful because there's corny retro. There's just bad music from that time. So you've got to make sure that you hit it right. And both of those films did.
They did. And then I watched Captain America Civil War again in the background on Blu-ray. And it is a fun movie. I can't wait to actually sit down and actually watch it. And that will be coming in the coming weeks. So that's cool. Have you watched anything cool besides the comic book shows?
No, I've been all comic book show right now. Because they've all been premiering and everything. So I've been just like, all my shows are back. Yay. Did actually see Suicide Squad.
Oh. And
I liked it. Okay. Is it the best movie ever? No. Is it a little messy in parts? Yes. But is it a lot of fun? Yes.
At times.
It does not deserve all of this hate. Like, there's so many people that were just like, oh, this, la, 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 la. It was my mom's birthday, and I talked her into going to see it because nothing really else interested me. And she was like, oh, well, so what is it? And like going, it's a DC movie. And it's like, I think Batman might be in it. Oh, okay, I'll go. And he was.
A little bit.
He was. He was in there a little bit.
In the good part.
She came out going, oh, that Harley Quinn, she is such a, I don't think I can say the rest of the words on this podcast, but they were good words. Okay. They were the good, they were the good words.
Versions. Yeah.
Versions. Yeah. She just came out raving about Harley Quinn. And I'm just like, wow. She actually liked Batman versus Superman more than Captain America. I know.
Yeah.
It's because she did not like how Captain America, everybody was fighting and they didn't make up in the end. Like, she didn't understand because she was like, wait, this is a Captain America movie and Captain America isn't Captain America anymore. It's like, well, no, what the bad word? Because, you know, we're in it. We're in the Marvel stuff. We get the whole hashtag, it's all connected, and we're expecting the connectedness and the blah, blah, blah. But my mom's just a regular viewer. She is a little geeky, but she's still a regular viewer. So I can, when I hear her say stuff like that, I can take a step back and it's like, well, you know what? Yeah, you know, Batman versus Superman was a complete story. I mean, yeah, Superman died. Oh, spoiler, but whatever. The movie's out on DVD, so spoiler alerts up. But it's still, the story itself was complete. And it kind of sets up something else, but it's not, again, like, she was like all into that. And I'm like going, okay.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about Suicide Squad, it was not a Marvel movie, Marvel caliber movie. I don't even think it would outdo the bottom rung, which to me would be the Hulk. And I just think.
Come on.
I liked Harley Quinn, but I mean, the characters appeared and disappeared for absolutely no reason whatsoever. This is a DC discussion. Let's have that over on Starling Tribune. But for back to Marvel stuff, Captain America Civil War, it was good to watch again. And I can't wait to watch it again. Have you watched all? Do you have the Civil War DVD or Blu-ray?
No.
Okay. I have not had a chance to watch the extra features in it yet. So I'm looking forward to that. Hey, we got a voicemail on this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, I do.
Okay. It's from Adam. So here we go.
Hey guys, it's Adam calling in with feedback on this week's episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, well, the fact that it was the watchdogs behind the blackouts was kind of predictable to me. I think I might have even gotten it from the previews. I don't remember for sure, but definitely by the time it was revealed, I was just assuming that was what was going on. As for the senator being involved, once again, not entirely unexpected, but with just the odd way she was behaving in that last scene, I was almost thinking that she was like an inhuman shapeshifter, and it would pan over to reveal the body of the senator already dead, but guess they're not going quite that much of a mutant storyline homage, shall I say. Stuff with Daisy and Ghost Rider's brother was fairly interesting, with him seeing through her and recognizing who she was. kind of think he's being a little hard on her, but I suppose if all he knows about her is the whole Quake sort of supervillain-ish thing, as far as the public's concerned at least, that's kind of expected. I was wondering if the director would reveal himself to be an Inhuman in that press conference, but given the way the senator twisted things, I suppose it's probably a good thing he didn't. Now, on to the whole Simmons and May plotline. That seemed a bit too convenient, but it's better than not having May around for a good chunk of the season to make it have a more long-term payoff, so I'm okay with it. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you very much, Adam, for that voicemail. We do appreciate it. Once again, Adam records the voicemail like right after he watches the episode, and I package it up and get it out to everybody the next day in the podcast. Michelle, you have anything to say to Adam?
I actually wasn't thinking that it could be the Watchdogs, because I don't know a lot about the Inhumans, but I know a little bit, and about how they all don't get along. And the last time we saw the Watchdogs, they weren't really that organized. So I was actually a little bit surprised that they had gotten that organized and that much tech. It really has become a little bit more than what I was expecting the Watchdogs to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like this little Easter egg from the first season that's just grown and grown over time. And you're like, where did these come from? Because it's not part of the Marvel lore that you would know from the outside the show, really. So we'll see where that goes. Another thing I want to comment is, we didn't talk about it, the director actually revealing himself as an Inhuman during the press conference. Of course, he didn't. But the thought of, wow, what would have happened if he did? I think that would have delegitimized S.H.I.E.L.D. immediately. So as Adam said, it's a good thing that he didn't, but I didn't even think that that was even a possibility. They had this rollout plan, you know, and of course, Fury said, you know, sometimes you got to throw the plan away. So we'll see. Of course, S.H.I.E.L.D., as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it will return to the Marvel Cinematic Universe at some point in time. Don't know if that'll be Director Hill, Sharon Carter, Nick Fury, Coulson. Don't know if Sitwell will come back as a good guy and lead it. Who knows? So we will see what happens there. So thank you very much, Adam. Really appreciate the voicemail. Once again, if you want to contact us, our voicemail is 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. Michelle, it is time to walk this one out. That is from the music places that I buy royalty-free music from.
I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting that.
Neither were the ladies when I played it a couple of weeks ago, so you just get used to it. All right, next week we will discuss, the ladies will be back, Haley and Lauren, and they will talk about Season 4, Episode 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. Just a little reminder, you can always find our live streams and join our live chat at www.geeks.live.
You can also visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
As I said a moment ago, our voicemail line is 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can find us on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
On Twitter, where Lauren live tweets, you can find at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
On Tumblr at legendsofshield.tumblr.com.
YouTube channel is Gonna Geek, which is youtube.com/GonnaGeek.
And forums at forums.gonnageek.com. And you can also search for Gonna Geek on Tapatalk.
Just want to thank everybody who has downloaded this podcast. Yes, thank you. You're listening or watching right now. Thank you very much for checking us out. Really appreciate you listening and watching the podcast. Don't forget, you can listen and watch the next live podcast on the Gonna Geek Network tomorrow night, Thursday night, 9 p.m. on any Thursday with the Starling Tribune, which both Michelle and I are hosts on. So you can get us again if you liked us today. Michelle, thank you very much for covering for our two agents, which are on some sort of science bender right now. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't mind. I know it's a classified mission. I'm not level orange. I will deal with that in my own spare time, but I am happy to come in and talk about Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at any time.
No problem. Just leave your colored orange lanyard at the door. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Okay, anyway, the giveaway, we'll talk about the Spider-Man Pop Funko crate. Should I go grab it?
Up to you.
Yeah, I'll go grab it. Hold on.
Sure.
There will be no over-the-shoulder unboxing.
Oh, good, because that's my thing.
It's totally your thing. Awesome. All right. Broadcast has been successfully terminated. I haven't said that in a while.
Oh, wow.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2016.